Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Somehow, God is in me, and there's a sense in which I am like God and man all at once.
Many religions claim that we will all eventually be gods. The Bible says something so much better. It says, no, God will continue to be God. Man will continue to be man, but God will come upon man.
No way!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Clearly not a pristine recording. Instead, it is a recording of hope. This is Wretched Radio. The sound that you're hearing in the background with the kerfuffle going on is a fellow sitting in the midst of rubble. His home was destroyed by a tornado. The piano was still standing. Some keys were missing. There was water damage. But Jordan Blaze of Bremen, Kentucky, sat and played worship music. His sister recorded it. And you and I get the benefit of being reminded that even in the midst of rubble, Jesus is there too. I think this is an old Gaither song, is what I think.
Sounds good.
And if that doesn't give you hope today, well, this most certainly will. I received a shocking, and I mean shocking, email about 14-year-old girls. Three in particular. Their names are Emily, Phoenix, and Savannah. Who are these very unusual 14-year-old teenagers? I think that might be redundant. They decided, rather than playing TikTok, rather than frittering away another day, how's about we raise some money for preborn life centers? So they decided, hold on, the details on this are really sweet. Received this email from Andrew. The summer they walked from Providence Church in Mattoon, Illinois, to the preborn headquarters in Indianapolis. That's 132 miles. They ended up raising, in 2 weeks' time, $156,000. What in the world? What's up with these teenagers these days? What a breath of fresh air that is, that these young people decided, let's save babies, let's save lives. And so they did a march to the preborn center in Indianapolis, raising $156,000. I did the math on it because it's $28 an ultrasound. 80% of the time a woman chooses life. They save 5,000 babies' lives. And 5,000 mommies will hear the gospel. Salute to you three. Well done, Emily, Phoenix, and Savannah. What a treat that is. By the way, if you want to join them in supporting Reborn, the more ultrasounds, the more babies get saved. You can learn more at preborn.org/wretched. preborn.org/wretched.
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh, Jimmy, did we hit our good news quota for the week?
I think so.
I'm looking at the video of the fellow. There's no roof on the house. It's just devastated. And there he sits playing worship music on the piano that sounds like it's seen better days. And the young ladies, wow, $156,000. Oofta.
That's amazing.
And consider this, too. If these three don't knock you out, all of the people who supported them, they gave. Phil Johnson once said to me, and he was right, as always, God's people are very generous. That is a demonstration of that. That should encourage you. I hope it does. And I hope you will send questions, comments, conundrums, or snarks to idea@wretched.org.
Interesting you left out corrections there. Because I have a stack full of those.
Do you?
No, I'm just playing.
Let's have it. It's okay.
No, I'm joking.
I'm a big boy.
But Cash.
I can take it.
Cash has a puzzle for you. He says he was recently talking with a coworker about faith, and he said he believed there was some sort of higher being, but didn't know what. So he asked why Christianity, and Cash didn't really know how to respond to that. So he was wondering, how would you go about handling that situation?
Well, there's a lot of different ways, but the first that comes to mind is, well, let's explore the five big questions of life. These are the philosopher's musings that every single one of us should ponder. Where did I come from? Why am I here? What am I doing? How do I deal with this guilt and shame that I feel like a black cloud hanging over my head? And where am I going when I die? And only Christianity can answer those questions coherently without contradictions. We did an episode on this, Road Trip to Truth, Season 3. That's in the process of getting completed. Road Trip to Truth, Season 2 is available. But in Season 3, we talked about the five big questions. Can Islam answer those questions coherently without contradiction? And they can't. Can Judaism? No, they can't. Because they don't rightly understand the left side of the book. It is only Christianity that can explain in a coherent manner that God made us. God has given us a manual for how we're to live. God has dealt with our guilt problem, our shame issues. And God has prepared a place for me. And it works harmoniously. And once you have found the religion that can jump over those five hurdles, it's the winner. You don't need to study every single religious worldview to know which one is right. Because when you find the right one, especially when that one says all of the other ones are wrong, then you have found truth. Please send your questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, or cracks to idea@wretched.org.
This one comes from Raquel. Mr. Friel, I am engaged, plan to have a wedding ceremony in February, but my fiance, unwilling to get a state license of marriage, also wants to keep our property and money separate. I want to do what's right according to God. So is it okay to have a marriage ceremony without a license?
Yes. Yes. As long as it is done in a way where there are witnesses to the covenant vows, till death do you part, as long as there is a public testimony of it, you do not need the government to confirm that you are married. We haven't needed the government for millennia. We don't need it now. It is just that government has taken an interest in the institution because we used to recognize it was the bedrock society, the bedrock, the foundational group that holds all of society together. And without it, the place goes flying apart. And by the way, aren't we seeing that? 17% of American families have a mom and dad at home raising the kids. 17%. Do we wonder why we're seeing such a nightmare? And so these statistics tell us that marriage is important, but it doesn't require the government affirming it. You will not receive, though, the benefits that they still currently offer. Filing jointly is a big deal. You might have issues if somebody dies. What happens to the will and to the estate could become problematic, but just the same, you don't need it. We used to have our marriage certificates right in the front of our Bibles, and the pastor signed it, and so did some witnesses, and that was enough, and it is today too. Now, having said all of that, if I heard this right, Jimmy, there was a line in there that the potential hubby wants to keep his stuff, and her stuff, her stuff.
Well, this isn't their first rodeo. They're older, been married before.
Ah.
Yeah. And so that's.
Ah. That is a fascinating subject. And a reminder, your pastor has some conundrums to deal with. Now, just try to imagine this, because I think the rule, the principle would be, no, you put your money in the same account because it's not yours and hers anymore. It's ours. Now, because it isn't their first rodeo, let's just say they're in their 60s or 70s even, and they want to get married, they want to cohabitate and do the right thing in the eyes of God, but they recognize that if one of them dies, their stuff goes to the spouse, which could then leave their children out that they brought into the marriage. Oh, okay. That's interesting, isn't it? Now, I suppose, I guess a really strict view of it would be, well, then don't get married if you're not willing to share everything. Maybe, but I also think that there could be a heart issue behind this. And that they don't want their kids to be upset. We don't want there to be, you don't want to leave your spouse fighting with your children. That's not a blessing. And so maybe just maybe there's an alternative to keeping stuff separately so that it doesn't get divided. And you can have the government authorize, if you will, the marriage. In this instance, why not have some sort of a written agreement in advance? Going to cost you some money with an attorney. Yeah, what I'm describing here basically is it's not a prenup because it's not for divorce. But if somebody dies, you could have it legally determined who gets what stuff. And that way you can share, you can be living as one, and you can do the right thing by leaving your kids an inheritance. Disagree? That's fine. Idea at wretched.org. This is Wretched Radio. Perhaps even whilst you celebrate the birth of our Savior, there's a black cloud hanging over your head. Inside of that black cloud is not a silver lining. It's health insurance and all of the expenses and challenges that brings. Great news. If you will contact MediShare, which is affordable biblical health sharing, 400,000 Christians strong, sharing one another's medical burdens to the tune of $4 billion, the average family saving approximately $500 a month. Perhaps MediShare is your silver lining that will make your holidays cloud-free. To learn more about MediShare and all of the benefits for your family, it takes 2 minutes on the telephone and you will get a bid for you and your family. The number is 844-34-BIBLE. 844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE for MediShare.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. And hey, make sure you don't miss out on the Wretched Christmas Giving Gratitude Not Sales event going on now through the end of the year. It's not a Christmas sale like every other retailer does. No, we're not trying to fool you into spending your money with us. No, we're actually helping you spend less of it and giving you free stuff in the process. Now, through the end of the year, select items in the Wretched store are 50% off. Plus, when you spend $50 or more, you'll receive free shipping and a free copy of Road Trip to Truth Season 1. Because we truly do appreciate all the support you give Wretched all through the year. And this time of year, it's not about receiving, it's about giving. So don't miss the Wretched Christmas Giving Gratitude Not Sales event happening now at the Wretched store at wretched.org/store. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Hey, Tomorrow Club supporter, this message from Paul Marty, the director of the Tomorrow Clubs, is just for you.
You know, it's been more than 25 years now since my wife Cindy first brought leaders and kids together for the very first Tomorrow Club. Hundreds of thousands of lives have been touched. We're grateful for all the ways you help kids in forsaken places learn to follow Jesus.
Thank you for your support of the Tomorrow Clubs, $30 a month, Disciples 30 Kids in Eastern Europe and now in Africa, where Tomorrow Clubs anticipates they could be opening up 100 new clubs in a year. Would you please consider becoming a Tomorrow Club supporter? Kids clubs that meet in forsaken places, they get loved on, they hear the gospel, they memorize Bible verses, and they're getting saved. To support your own Tomorrow Club, please visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Know your church fathers. Clement of Alexandria was an apologist in the late 2nd century. He ran a school in Alexandria, Egypt, where he instructed new converts and trained Christian apologists. He taught that only Christianity, with its revelation from God in the Bible, has the answers regarding creation, good and evil, and salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, the shame, the shame. This is Wretched Radio. Didn't even swing to miss the setup that Jimmy delivered for me. It was right down the middle. And I totally biffed it. Solving the God Puzzle. It's an excellent booklet to give to somebody who's a bit agnostic, which is the number one growing demographic in our country. This book dismantles agnosticism, revealing it is a belief system that does not support itself underneath its own weight. We're giving them away, including shipping. A case has 244. If you order one, two, however many cases you promise to give away, and we will be verifying that, by the way, because believe it or not, just amazing. Sometimes we'll get really large orders. From an atheist who wants 10 cases so they can throw them in the dumpster. We try to avoid that. So there's a process if you order more than a case or two. But we will give them to you if you promise to give them away. And we will even include shipping in that deal. It's a fine offer. If it's less than a case, we still send them to you, but we ask you to pay for shipping. We will be distributing a lot of those because, Jimmy, the first 250,000 that we ordered,
gone.
Zoom, yeah, out the door. So we've got protocol here. Believe it or not, there are some systems involved in running this jernt. And we would normally see, oh, it's down to 75,000. It's time to reorder. Yeah, well, that was before, you know.
Supply line.
That's the. you know what? I'll bet there's a kid. Hey, honey, did you clean your room? Dad. Supply line. Oh, all right, son. Never mind, because we accept everything that feels like a third-rate country these days because of supply lines. But we experienced it to a degree. So we've got 750,000 that are on their way to us, which should be here any day. And we will send them out to you. Simply visit wretched.org/puzzle and send your questions, comments, conundrum, snarks to idea@wretched.org.
Okay, this one comes from Brady. He wants to know, how can a Christian know when they're spiritually mature enough to begin dating?
Wow. Good question. I mean, that's an encouraging question because most of us, and I'll include myself in there, and you started dating when you felt like you wanted to date. It was pretty,
okay, I like her, let's go.
That's not the way a Christian should approach it. So salute for the question. You can get that question answered by two different groups of people. One, your family. Second, your church family. Let them tell you. Tap into your mom and dad. I know there's dynamics and there's exceptions. You don't have Christian parents. I understand. Then scoot to your church. And better yet, do both if you can. And let them tell you, how do you see me growing in the faith? Do you think I'm spiritually mature? And I would add another criteria to this. It's not just spiritual maturity. I think there's a purity issue that needs to be considered. Have you abstained from sexual immorality, including pornography, for a lengthy season, demonstrating you have got yourself under control? Third, I think that there are some practical issues. Are you ready to be married? Because that should be the point of dating. Call it courting if you like, but what are you doing this for? If, I know this is going to sound oh so ridiculous and puritanical and fuddy-duddy, but the only point in dating is to determine, is this going to be the person with whom I say I do? The dating is not a good idea unless it is with the specific intention of getting married. And that's why you should have family. And that's why you should have church involved, because this is a big deal decision. So the other considerations going into this would be preparation. Do you have a job? Do you have a career path forward? Do you have to have everything checked? No, but you should have the things in line. So let's just say, for instance, you're 20, you've got 2 years of college. You want to get married. Do I wait? I would say if all of the other considerations have been pondered and satisfied, I think you can, as long as you've been demonstrating you're on your way to that. And this is the financial plan for it. That means you really should write out a financial plan. I know that's not everybody's cup of tea, but it is wise to do that. Because if you don't have certain things in place, then you're just not qualified to be married. If you're not spiritually mature enough, you're not qualified. If you haven't been chaste, you're not qualified. If you don't have your life ordered with a forward plan for how now we're going to live, especially you, sir, then you're just not qualified and ready to go. You will not be able to answer these questions yourself. You won't do it because you're going to give yourself the benefit of every doubt. And you're going to say, oh, yeah, I am. Yep. Because you're ready to get married and that's what you want. You need outside wisdom. Let people help you. Even let your siblings help you. It is crucial that you do this because let me tell you, I was going through a book, Focus Publishing. I just asked them to send me a bunch of proof copies of a number of books. They're the ones who published Milton Vincent's Gospel Primer.
He says primer, I think.
And he says Eilish. He's wrong on that, too. Callbacks for 500, Alex. The Gospel Primer is published by Focus Publishing, and I was going through their catalog, and they had some. I wish I could remember the titles of the marriage books, because it's like, you think this is going to be fun, do you? And it is, but it's way more than that. It is hard work, because you are going to suddenly be revealed for who you are. And so is she or he, whatever your gender, whatever it is that you decide your gender is at this particular moment. You're going to suddenly discover, whoa, living with another human being like this is hard. Make sure you're wise. You don't want to be miserable. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
All right. Can I add to that?
Sure. Yeah,
you said something, and I know it's covered with what you said, but I listened to a sermon by the great Paul Washer one time.
He's right.
Yeah, he is. That really changed my thinking on it. But one of the main points is he talked about the financial aspect and the being ready aspect.
Yeah.
But one of the biggest points that he made is, sir, have you put away the childish things?
Great.
And the video games, all that. Have you put that stuff away? Because if you haven't, you're not ready.
Yeah. You're just not ready.
Yeah.
Because those things, while not being sinful in and of themselves, hopefully, you're just not demonstrating, I'm stepping up.
Right.
This is big boy time, and I'm stepping up. And I got to tell you, Jimmy, we shouldn't be shocked at the divorce rate, because it just increasingly in our culture, guys don't have dads. They don't have any idea about these things. And so they just trip and clod through it, leaving a wake of devastation, which is why if you don't have a pop, find one in your local church. You don't need to be adopted. You just need to find somebody who can walk you through this, because this is big stuff. Remember, the key issue at stake isn't your happiness, isn't your progeny, it isn't your lifestyle. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, because if you can't play your role well, sir, as Jesus, madam, as the church, then you are sinning. That's something to ponder, isn't it? When we fight, we're sinning because we're not representing our characters correctly. When we are out in public and we do something that causes the world to go, oof, then we're sinning. Because we are representatives of the relationship between Jesus Christ and the church. Don't enter into it thoughtlessly and without either family, church, or both. Please send emails to idea@wretched.org. Unless, of course, Jimmy, you have more to add to that.
No.
That's it's good. Okay if you do.
No, that's good. But we do have a question from Charlie.
Can I just tell you something about Paul Washer that I saw that was important that might help a young man to kind of move up and get higher thinking? And please note this. I'm sure Paul didn't do this. I'm actually going to be listening to all of his manhood presentations because I'm going to be, we're preparing something special with Paul Washer, and it has to do with manhood. It's in February, and so I'm going to be studying for that by listening to his presentations. And I started one, and he was talking about perhaps a piece of art that you have seen, kind of creepy and haunting. It's a monk standing at a thin window. It's kind of dark and dank looking, and he's holding a skull. And you go, what is with that creepy piece of art? What is he doing? He is pondering his own mortality, recognizing this will be I'm going to be this skull very soon. He was considering the number of his days, and he was learning how to live life in view of death. That'll bring you up, young man. I know you don't feel this. You need to try. You're going to die, and it's going to come a whole lot sooner than you thought, because the sands in the hourglass never stop draining, and you'll be there. Ponder it, and it will help you to become more godly, more manly, and to put behind childish things. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, the Fantastic Decisions Agency, that's not what it stands for, the FDA has announced that it will be relaxing its restrictions on the chemical baby murder pill mifepristone by removing the in-person dispensing requirement and allowing doctors to freely send out murder pills by mail. Because apparently going to a house of murder to murder an innocent baby is just too stressful and hard on those actually getting the murders performed. So the FDA had to find a way to make it easier and allow it to take place in private.
Your job was to educate my child in math, science, English, etc. Do your job and let me do mine.
Well, that was the voice of an unnamed mother addressing a group of teachers at a local school board meeting in Salinas, California. The teachers have been accused of changing the gender of a 12-year-old without consulting the child's parents. The teachers changed her daughter's name and used different pronouns while providing help to the 12-year-old to transition to a boy. Public education is the downfall of the next generation. Get your kids out of public schools as soon as possible, parents. All right, so let me preface this next story by saying this is not a treatise on vaccines. And now a word from everyone's favorite and trustworthy infectious disease expert.
Mandates, if that's a radioactive word, requirements, people seem to respond better to that.
Dr. Fauci. Look, I know I'm not the sharpest knife in the crayon box, but the very definition of the word mandate is, quote, to officially require. Literally the same thing, Doc. Where in the world do we find these people? Man, it just goes downhill from here, folks. 3%, only 3% of those of Latin descent. Don't mind the new woke term, Latinx. Meaning 97% of the Latin culture doesn't like it. Actually, they see it as a derogatory term. But an entire culture nearly unanimous in their disdain for how they're spoken of, well, that's not going to stop the woke folks at Marvel from educating the Latin community because, you know, they know better than they do. And the latest issues of Spider-Girl, you know, the comic that is supposed to be about heroes stopping villains. Well, Spider-Girl in this latest comic is teaching Spider-Man's mom about the term Latinx. The best part of the whole comic is that Spider-Man's mom is a Latina. So she's being educated by a non-Latin person on how to be a better Latin person. Remember, being woke really is a joke. And finally today, a man playing dress up, a drag queen, standing in the pulpit of a Lutheran church, invites children to come forward to learn about drag queens. This is evil, demonic activity designed to groom children and expose them to what the Bible calls sin. A church, scratch that. It's not a church. It's a building playing dress up, just like this man is playing dress up, but it's deeming this behavior acceptable. This person, number one, should not be allowed to be around children, and secondly, is not a pastor, and this is not a church. It's a tool of Satan to confuse your children. It is truly, truly sickening. More Wretched Radio is on the way. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. Nehemiah is the continuing story of exiles returning from Babylonian captivity. In this book, the people rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and renew the covenant under the leadership of Nehemiah. Despite opposition, the wall is rebuilt in 52 days, and it's perceived as a work wrought by God. God will bless that work which brings him honor. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Emails, send your emails. Bitta to idea@wretched.org. And don't forget about sermon stories. Anything that you see that is wretched, we covet it in a non-sinful kind of way. Okay, maybe a little bit sinfully, because it is so helpful that we hear from around the globe Christian stories that are all helpful to all of us. Please send them to idea@wretched.org.
All right. This one comes from David. Mr. Friel, what would be a short but strong rebuttal to the argument, if God is self-sustaining, why did he choose to create life and humanity in the first place?
And his good pleasure. That's the first response, because he wanted to. God does whatever he wants to do, and it is always good. The biblical identification of the purpose of the existence of the planet is to bring him great glory through the salvation of sinners through the redemptive work of his Son. That's why this universe spins. And we can get so busy, can't we, distracted with activities, and they can all be God glorifying. But we do well to remember as regularly as we can, okay, what is God doing here? Oh, yeah. He's building his kingdom so that he can be glorified by saving sinners. It might just adjust your calendar a little bit. Please send emails to idea@wretched.org.
All right. Hannah is wondering if you can speak to anger more in depth. We talked about it recently, but she wants to know if you can kind of explain what it looks like, sinful anger versus righteous anger.
It just depends on what's motivating it. Because I think that righteous anger, it might look to some degree like sinful anger. It's like, whoa, that guy's getting kind of hot. I think when Jesus was tipping over tables, I don't think he was walking up to the money changers and saying, excuse me, I'm so sorry for this, but if I could you maybe just step back so that I don't crush your feet? Because I'm tipping this bad boy. It's not the way that he talked. He drove him out with authority. And that might look like sinful anger, but it's not. Why? Because he was motivated by the glory of God so that people could not misuse God's name in the making of profit. Oofta, what a sin. He was angry because God was being assaulted. The Father was being compromised. That was the motivation. And that needs to be ours too. If it's a slight against us, can we get upset? Yes, we can. Can you be hurt? Absolutely. Disappointed? Certainly. But being angry, gotta watch that one. And I recognize this is a tricky one. Just consider the panoply of synonyms that we have for anger. Frustrated, annoyed, bugged, getting up my nose. And then even some that have a slightly different shading. Disappointment is kind of mingled in there. Isn't it? Ah, or it can be this feeling of betrayal. And it's very difficult to maintain which emotion I'm having and which one is acceptable. It's okay to grieve. It's okay to mourn and cry. That is fine. But when sinful anger is mixed in, then it becomes, of course, sinful. So how do you know if your tears are filled with sinful anger? What are you mad about? What are you mad about? Just identify that. And I would encourage you to take a biblical counseling step forward. When I was angry, what was I really after? What am I trying to satisfy? This emotion that I'm currently having toward my spouse? Why? Because that will most likely be closer to the root of your problem. Remember, anger is just a fruit. It's not a root. You got to figure out why. So you've got to ask yourself, what am I worshiping in the moment? What am I after? What am I seeking? And if it is self-aggrandizement, or if it's self-soothing, or it's just cathartic for me, then it's probably sinful anger. But if it's, God was offended, or if it's, this person did something sinful and I just hate sin. Or it could be, oh, that decision is so bad. It's going to hurt them so much. It just makes me angry. Okay. I think a helpful tip for all of us is just watch the word angry. Before you use the word angry, consider, what is it that I'm experiencing? All that to say, it's work. And we should be working on these things. Part of the transformation of our mind is getting our emotions under control. And this is no easy task. That's why you see a million psychologists, psychiatrists, and social workers in America. And the number just continues to grow. Because people's emotions are indeed out of order. All of ours are. The noetic effect of the fall. All of our brains are busted. And we need to go to work on it. So really, more times than we probably are inclined to right now, what is it? What am I really feeling here? And we can do that without becoming self-absorbed with something that's joyful. You're really happy. Why? So for instance, you get a surprise check in the mail, didn't anticipate it, and you just are like, whoop-dee-doo. Why? What's making you happy? This is the converse of angry. We're talking about happy here. Because you can have sinful happiness too. Every emotion can have a non-sinful or sinful, including happiness. If your happiness is based on, yeah, now I'm getting that thing that I want. Okay, that could be okay because God does satisfy the desires of our hearts. But if it's crossed the line into now I'm going to be, this is the thing that I've been needing to make me happy. Uh-oh. Then you got to recalibrate it and rethink it and give your praise to God for being so good. And then you'll probably take a moment to consider how you're actually going to spend that dough. We got to be more thoughtful and putting in more effort. Sin runs deep. Have you experienced that as a Christian? If let's say you've been in it for more than a decade. Have you experienced that? That kind of the big nasty stuff, it's for the most part been slain. But wow, you start to see these things. And a lot of the things that we see as we get older in the faith are emotional things. My tone of voice. My face and the way that I look at people when I'm talking to them. My attitude toward getting my own needs met. It should be a battle that we are all engaged with, probably more than we are desiring to do currently. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
All right. This one comes from Rebecca. Todd, do all dogs go to heaven or just the regenerated ones? No, she says she recently lost a very beloved family dog, and she's curious if the Bible has anything to say on dogs in heaven.
There's faint echoes. We see that there's animals in the New Kingdom, but it doesn't say that those are reincarnated or certainly redeemed. Jesus didn't die for dogs. He died for humans. Did dogs sin? Well, without a law, I guess when they're bad dogs, we don't see anything in the Bible that says they're either damned or redeemed. We also see, however, what eternity is like. Who are those animals going to be? I don't think we have any reason to believe that animals, even certain animals, because if God's going to bring animals into the kingdom, why wouldn't he bring the wood ticks along with the dogs and the fleas with the dogs? Shouldn't they go to heaven too? See, they have no mechanism to warrant God's favor for eternity. Having said that, I get this from Randy Alcorn. Randy Alcorn, who I think has written the finest tome on heaven. We're going to be talking about that next February. Randy Alcorn's book on heaven, he has a little bit of sanctified imagination, and he states it by saying this is not definitive, but isn't heaven going to be a place of joy? Isn't heaven going to be a place where you and I enjoy all of the good things that God has made? It'll be just a constant wow. Now, remember, the wow comes from being with Jesus. But that doesn't mean there won't be food. It doesn't mean that there won't be fun. It doesn't mean that there won't be sports. It doesn't mean that there won't be work. It doesn't mean that there won't be activities. It doesn't mean that anything that we experience that is a gift from God now won't be there for eternity. So what about your beloved pooch? I think Randy says it best. I'm paraphrasing, but could God, in his kindness, bring that dog into eternity for you as one of the animals that will populate the kingdom? Perhaps. Perhaps. And if I might add this, and I do this really, really carefully because I just watched a documentary on service dogs because it had to do with PTSD, soldiers that need them. They're a huge blessing. Let me just say that loud and clear. They're a huge blessing. They calm people down. It alerts them to danger. It comforts them. It helps them when they're in trouble. And I say, praise God for those gifts that he has given in the form of a four-legged canine. But dogs aren't to be our ultimate comfort. God is. So we can use a dog for those things. But if it isn't aiming us toward the giver of the good gift, then we're kind of missing the point of it. You won't need your dog in heaven. I know that's a hard word because you love the pooch. You won't need him because you're going to have the best thing there is. Jesus. This is Wretched Radio.
2021 has been the best yet at Wretched, and I'm not sure I have enough time to even cover it all, but let's try. This year we rolled out a new curriculum of Wretched Bible Studies. Drive-By Biblical Counseling 3 was released. Wretched Worldview hit the streets. Tom Hammond's newest booklet, Solving the God Puzzle, became available, and Season 2 of Road Trip to Truth was released. And that's just our big resource releases this year. We can't forget about our big move over the summer or the fact that as of today, Wretched Radio can be heard on over 800 radio stations worldwide. Wretched TV can be found on over 135 Christian networks, our YouTube channel, almost 4 million hours watched this year alone, and none of this would be possible without our gospel partners. During this year-end season, would you please prayerfully consider becoming a gospel partner? 2022 promises to be our best yet with our new documentary series, Transformed, set to be released, highlighting the life-changing power of biblical counseling. So visit wretched.org/donate or text the word wretched to the number 44321 to become a gospel partner today.
Permit me to introduce you to Brie and Salvation Domino's Preborn Style.
When one person gets saved, they have that burning desire to just make him known the same way that was made known to them. And then it's just this domino effect.
Brie currently volunteers at a preborn life center. How did she get saved? From a friend whose mother got saved at, you guessed it, a preborn life center. Why? Because preborn, it is indeed about saving babies' lives via $28 ultrasounds, but it is also sharing the gospel so that moms and dads get saved. And look at the domino effect. Would you please consider supporting preborn centers with as many free ultrasounds as you can? $28 for an ultrasound 80% of the time saves a life. Learn more at preborn.org/wretched.
It seems like everywhere you look, you find a survey about something these days. And of course, Wretched, we didn't want to miss out on this trend, so we conducted our own survey. Actually, I just asked a couple of people across the hall, but here are the results. When asked, what's your favorite part of Christmas? 100% of respondents said, celebrating the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Without Christ, there's no reason for Christmas. Without Christ, there's no reason for Wretched. We realize we can't do any of this without you. It wouldn't be possible to produce the content and resources that we do without the support of our gospel partners. During this time of year where we should all reflect on the true meaning of Christmas, would you prayerfully consider becoming a gospel partner and help us to continue reaching the lost all over the world? Just visit wretched.org/donate. That's wretched.org/donate, or text the word wretched to the number 44321.
Attributes of God. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5 tells us that God is jealous. Jealousy is an intense desire to protect one's own glory, honor, and name. Since God is perfect, it is only right for him to protect his own glory. Take comfort knowing that God will receive glory, and his glory is good for you.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Here we go.
1-7-7-2-8-2-BEEP.
Questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, please call and leave a message at Wretched Radio's Beep Talk, 1-877-282-BEEP, 1-877-282-BEEP.
This left kind of a bad taste in my mouth. Country Road church signs. OMG, I heart you.
I know. Maybe you can get carried away with minced oaths, but I'm sorry. OMG isn't minced. It's clear what the intention is. This is one of the reasons that I actually struggle to watch those home shows on HGTV. Besides the fact that they're mind-numbingly boring, it's when the reveal happens, they walk in and the remodeling took place. Ugh, with the blasphemy, drives me bonkers. And that includes G-O-S-H, minced oaths, anything coming close to God's name to drag it through the mud, or even to express joy. If you want to express joy because your kitchen has been remodeled, then praise the Lord, but don't use his name casually.
Church sign. Don't worry about the Delta. We've got the Alpha and the Omega.
Great sign. And by the way, if I could just do a shout out to any broadcaster who might be listening, it's not Omicron. It's Omicron with an N at the end. Jimmy, what was Ludi from Ireland? Sent me that if you take Omicron, you could you jumble up the letters and it spells moronic.
Yeah.
But what's the other one?
It's Delta.
Delta, which means then you put it with Omicron, jumble it up, and it spells.
I can't remember what was like it?
Media bias or something.
Yeah.
Something like that.
And speaking of your correction, it was also Billie Eilish.
What? Who sent?
I don't know.
How dare anybody possibly?
No, that was from me.
I know it was. 1-877-282-BEEP, please.
So now that the loop's around and there's a lot of stuff changing, like music-wise, my question is, as Christians, how can we be more careful and aware of the music we listen to when it comes to Christian music?
By defending the truth, understanding that music is important. It's a gift from God. It's the highest form of communication that we possess. Setting lyrical thoughts that are theologically sound about God to music. You can't do finer than that. Keeping in mind that we're singing about God himself, it should just cause us all to raise the bar. Let's go a little bit higher with this. And let's not be sloppy. Let's not be low. And ultimately, the reason that we should be striving for that is because it's not going to do you any good to feel good listening to a song. You could listen to a Billie Eilish song. That was for you, Jimmy.
Yeah, I know.
And it could provide some sort of, that makes me feel good. Pagans feel that way all the time about secular music. It's not lasting. It's not going to help you. Rich, robust, theological music is what we need to feel better. Jimmy, I found the text from Ludi.
Okay, what is it?
Good morning, bro. Heard, this must have been last Friday, where you and Jimmy acknowledge Omicron, and he spelled it right, can be rearranged to spell moronic. However, did you know Delta and Omicron can similarly be arranged to form media control?
That was it.
Yeah. You're welcome, he says. 1-877-282. By the way, you've been calling and leaving testimonies. Jimmy, we got a slew of them. We're going to share those next year. Please call the Beep Talk number and leave your testimony. Try to land the plane at 2 minutes. It'll just force you to be really tight. And it would be such an encouragement to all of us. 1-877-282-BEEP.
Hi, Mr. Friel. My name is Elizabeth, and I'm currently a high school senior. I'm trying to decide a college to go to, but my dilemma is that my whole life I've pursued aerospace engineering. But recently, I've wondered if I should go into ministry, like working with kids. Both feel like good options, and my parents seem to like the aerospace option more. How do I know where God's leading me so I can pick the right college?
That is the part of the question that needs to be really bored down. How do you know where God is leading you? My question is, what does that mean? I know we use it a lot. The Lord led me to this. Well, I can tell you past tense he did, otherwise you wouldn't be here. So you're where you're supposed to be because God has ordered your steps. You are not outside of his will. Even if, by the way, you're outside of his perfect will and you're sinning, that God has ordained this place, this space, this location for you. But now, let's bring the clock backwards. How does the Lord lead you to a new job? Feeling? Sensation? My desire? I think we need to scrap all of those. And we need to come up with a biblical way of understanding how the Lord leads us. It is not through nudgings, promptings, liver shivers, signposts, billboards, somebody saying a word to you. No, we are led by the Lord when one, there's five steps here. One, pray for wisdom. Please note, I said for wisdom, not for an answer. Lord, I want to be wise. We make genuine decisions, and they are all a part of a cognitive process, and we engage our brains to make the best decision so that we know that we are doing the best thing we can for the Lord. Number two, after you've prayed for wisdom, study the Bible on the subject. So, young lady, study the Bible on aerospace engineering. Okay, you're not going to find anything there, but you are going to find things on work, what it means, and ministry, and what that means, and who's qualified. And I think that also you should take a look at the landscape and say, what opportunities exist for a woman in ministry? Obviously not the pastoral office, but is that something that is actually accessible and available to you? But you've actually prayed for wisdom. You've actually studied the Bible. Now you're going to actually talk to people and ask them. So your parents have spoken into your life. Are they fallible? Or infallible? No, they're certainly not. They might be giving you bad advice. So get more of it. Honor their advice. Consider it more carefully than anybody else's. I'm trusting they're godly people. But then seek out wisdom from as many people as you can. There are some people. Okay. This is just going to hurt. And I mean worse than my molar that is missing right now hurt. Because, that thing's getting my attention. You want to know who's really good, Jimmy, at asking people, what do you think about this before saying it, preaching it, or writing it?
Who's that?
Tom Hammond. Kills me. Just kills me. But he regularly. And now this is, you need to understand, Tom Hammond is the author of Solving the God Puzzle, What Time is Purple? We're giving those away still. Wretched.org/puzzle. We're not doing purple now. We're doing Solving the God Puzzle that you can distribute to wherever you promise to distribute it. You can find it at wretched.org/puzzle. But Tom is a man that presents himself as being quite certain. He's not a waffler. He's not like the, well, what do you think? No, he's kind of a type A sort of fellow, even with his rather southern twang. He's a type A guy. So you wouldn't think that he's questioning anything, but he does. That is a proverbial sign of wisdom. That hurt even more. It is wise to seek counsel, and he does it. He invites it. Please tear this apart. Don't fill it with platitudes. Just tell me, because I just want to make this better. I just want to do this righter. You should be doing that. Pray for wisdom. Study the Bible. Ask for wisdom from other people. Now you can consider your preferences. What do you prefer? Because you've got everything that you have to consider, like what's the cost of it? What's the student loan debt going to be? What am I going to make when I'm, all of that goes into this number four category that you consider what your preferences are. What are the desires of your heart? Being an aerospace engineer is going to provide for you a different lifestyle than being in children's ministry. What do you want? Having done those three aforementioned things, consider the desires of your heart. It is okay to do that and consider in that package all of the implications of that decision. Number five, make a decision. And you will know that that is God's will for your life because that's what you've decided. Now, you say, well, what if it was the wrong decision? It's not the wrong decision unless it was a sinful decision. You married a complete turkey. Madam, you married the right man. How do I know? Because you're married to him. Now, maybe you decided it sinfully and you can repent of that and move on, but you can't divorce the guy because he's a knucklehead. You maybe made a bad decision, but it was God's will for your life. So to answer the question, how do I know where the Lord is leading me? I would say scrap the question and ask, how do I make decisions biblically? Pray for wisdom. Read the Bible on the subject thoroughly, exhaustively. Receive counsel from godly people, not from pagans. From godly people, another reason you need your local church. Consider your preferences and all of the ramifications of your decision. Make your choice, and that is God's will for your life. Isn't that a better system? Until tomorrow, go serve your King.